Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My grandfather was more difficult. He always keeps saying, like, yeah, you should work. Like, that's my work, okay?
Io sono Nova Fireball, Francesco Akira. E io vincerò il Best of the Super Junior 29. To my opponent, well, you will see. Grazie a tutti. Arrivederci. Bruciare.
One half of the reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. It's the fantastic Francesco Akira. How are you doing, Akira?
It was buongiorno.
Buongiorno. If you're watching on the Patreon feed, you will see to the left the belt in question. Is that a bit surreal, having that in your house?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty surreal, but all the hard work paid off, and it's cool to have it on my PC. I will never imagine last year. If you told me last year, I would, what? But now it's here.
Some people have cups of coffee and weird bags of food on their PCs. Not you. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship belt.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Am I right in thinking that you are the first European to hold such a title?
I'm not the first European, because Prince Devitt was.
Right.
Prince was the only one before me. So it was Irish. So, yeah. But I'm the first Italian. That's still like, let's say I'm the first European continent and not on island. Okay.
Yeah. We'll take that one. What does that feel like? Is there a pressure there, being the first Italian to hold a belt in New Japan?
There's a pressure, of course, because like there wasn't so many Italians before me. So it's like I'm opening the door after Bruno Sammartino, you know, like after Bruno went to All Japan. And it was pretty surreal, but pressure or no pressure, I'm happy I got that. I done this.
And you have, and we'll talk more about it and your journey there as we go through. We want you to choose three wrestling matches as well that you would watch while stranded on, metaphorically, on a desert island. What would you like your first match to be then?
First match, I think The Rock against John Cena, WrestleMania 28.
Their second one.
Cena beat The Rock, because it was like 1 year long storyline, and The Rock is my favorite wrestler, and like it was perfect, every single thing working until the moment. And I remember the match was pretty good, but other than the match, the emotion that I felt, because I was young too, so felt very real, and yet it's one of my favorite men.
It must, as a Rock fan, because that was like a big comeback for The Rock. He'd been away for a long time, going up there against John Cena. What were your friends like in terms of their loyalty? Were they all Team Bring It, or were they on John Cena's side?
My friend mostly Team The Rock, because, you know, Cena is for the kids, but Rock is for the man, let's say like this. Yeah, my wrestling friend, we're all Team Rock. But me especially, because he's a big inspiration for me. So,
why is The Rock an inspiration?
because I like his story. He came from almost nothing to when he was not selected in NFL and then not eliminated, but like was, I don't know English term to say, released from the Canadian football team too.
Yeah.
He didn't have nothing. And then he built up until one of the most famous people in the world from nothing, from wrestling. And he had a family, of course, a long generation, but his charisma is unmatchable.
It really is. It's hard to deny just how big a star The Rock became. And you do forget, and you are very right to point it out, you forget that he was cut from football. He had no money growing up, and now he's, you know, the idea of him being cut from anything is unthinkable.
He's going to run for president, I'm sure.
Did you relate then? You said like how you connected with The Rock because, you know, it was he had a sort of tougher fight to get into where he did. Did you go through similar things yourself?
I mean, I'm glad I have a family like with me, and I'm not like his story, but for wrestling in Italy, when I started, it was like the weird guy, the weird kid in the classroom, because everyone had have this idea that wrestling is fake. So what the fuck you doing? You're just not good at other sports. So you do this. And it was inspiring to see Rock anyway, like go all the way through from WWE to like the top of WWE. And to me it was inspiring. And yeah, that's why. So for me.
Despite all those around you saying, "Oh, wrestling's is fake. Why do you want to do that?" What was it that made you decide to pursue it?
I mean, because like I think as one of the thing I can do good, and one of the thing I can do like very happy when I'm on the ring. I'm very nervous before. I'm very nervous like when I'm about to walk through the curtain, but it's one of the things that makes me happy, that makes me go meet different people, see different things. And when I was young, it was pretty cool because even if I was in Italy, it was cool to like have people come and watch you, pay a ticket to watch you. And that's why I did, because I just like it and I didn't care. I don't care about what other people said. We'll probably never change the idea of wrestling fake in Italy, but I will still do it.
So when you decided this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to get into this, what was the scene like in Italy? Because you hear about how European wrestling was a little bit behind sort of what the US was doing. Where were you at and where was the scene at when you were getting into it?
It was 20 people at the show. So it was pretty low. I like literally fought in front of 20 and then a few weeks ago in front of 6,000 at Dominion. So it was pretty low, but I didn't care at the time because I didn't know, of course, the European scene. I just knew the Italian scene and the WWE because I just started. And like if there was a big show, it was around like 100, 200 people. But the atmosphere you can find at wrestling show, you cannot find it anywhere. If you watch a football game with like 100 people, it would suck, of course. But if you have a wrestling show with 100 people packed, it's going to be fun. So that's why I like it so much.
Because in Italy, the big sport is football.
Yeah,
and it always has been. Was there ever any passion for you to pursue that?
I actually played soccer for a little bit. But it's not my sport. I don't like it either, but I just played because everyone played. So I try. I was not so bad too, but it's not my sport. I don't enjoy playing. I more enjoy like playing basketball, if you ask me, but not football.
Right. I mean, was when it came to wrestling then, and you're finding your way into it, did you find the more that you did it, like friends who sort of doubted you doing it, were they more inspired to get into it because of you? Or was there always that sort of underlying bit of, it's still fake, I don't know why you're doing it?
Yeah, no, it was not like some people came for like some training, and because I told them come to try and then you're gonna see. And then after the training, they were like that, but not so much. I don't have friends that started wrestling because of me. I mean, I know some people started because they watch my story, but I don't have close friend that started because of me. So, but it's really a little sport in Italy, so that's why it's so difficult.
Now, talking of your story, I've been through your Instagram and I've scrolled quite far back, and I'm going to throw some things at you. Your teddy bear was the only one who understood you.
Yeah, it was. I still have that teddy bear.
Do you? What's his name?
Wait, I forgot. Fucking hell, this is right on Instagram. It's like I have at my other house, and like it's like probably 5 years. I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I don't see him, but there's a name on the post.
It's his name's on there, but he's a lovely teddy bear. It's and he's still, but you've still got him in your other home. He's still at your he's
Yeah,
still elsewhere.
I'm
You
not
never get
sleeping.
rid of them. You'll never get
No,
rid of them.
I'm not sleeping with him.
It's okay if you are, but you're not, and that's
No,
fine.
I mean, I don't have problem to say, but it's like, yeah, it was pretty cool when like I was young, and he's big, so I will put him on my side, and on the other side I have wall, so it protect me from everything coming from the other side.
See, I like he was your first tag partner, basically. With the greatest respect to TJP, he's your first tag partner.
Yeah, I don't know which one to choose, man.
you were very excited for WWE 13.
Oh,
Which
shit. You really scroll back, man.
I did a lot of scrolling. Who was your go-to when you play the wrestling video games? Who's your go-to character to play as?
The Rock.
Of course it is.
The spinning DDT was one of my favorite moves, where he takes the clothesline and go into the DDT. It was always my counter attack.
Did you ever pick up any silly moves in the video games and go, I want to try them in wrestling?
Probably yes, because like WWE 2K has the move maker. You can make move.
Does.
Maybe probably the Meteora was the one I saw from the game and from Ricochet, but the double knee.
The double knees, and then you went, I want to try that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
There's a great shot of the Italian Championship Wrestling show at Cartoonomics. Sorry, at Cartoonix 2016.
It was like a manga game, manga comics.
Like a manga comic convention, but with wrestling as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were you as a wrestler when that show was happening? Were you how far into the wrestling world and training were you?
This is from 2016, probably. So just what, 1 year?
Yeah.
Like this, very young, with my first costume. No, my second costume, the black one with some gold. Yeah, it was like one of my first show.
See, that's it, because we talk about how like the attendance wasn't great at early Italian wrestling shows, but that's a lot of people for your first show.
Yeah,
Was there nerves there?
It was, because like it wasn't people that came to see wrestling show. It was people that came for the comics and then got stopped for wrestling. But it was pretty cool because many people came, and like while we doing the show, I don't know if you know Umbrella Academy from Resident Evil. They
Yes.
were playing a show right in front of us. So they were like, boom, boom, like shotgun and all that, while we were doing moves. So it was cool, but annoying.
Yeah, I can imagine that's quite distracting when you're trying to wrestle and all that's going on as well. There is a great photo on your Instagram just above that, which is you holding the Rising Sun Championship in 2017.
Crazy.
Was this your first title?
Was my first title, my first big opportunity. I still remember like yesterday the picture I take. Like pretty surreal. I remember when my opponent came out. This was a small arena, but I was talking about before, like 100 people packed and ready. When my opponent came in, everyone threw toilet paper, and the promoter gave the toilet paper to throw. But after this, was so upset because it took like 20 minutes to clean up before the match started. And when I walk, there's like a match on YouTube, the people went nuts.
But that's a great moment for you. It must have been. Well, can you remember? Oh, so you remember the moment, like beat for beat. Do you remember when you were told, right, we're gonna put the championship on you here. We're gonna put the Rising Sun title on you.
I don't remember that well, actually. I remember the moment more than the
build up.
Booker told me. Yeah, it's like was the moment was really special. That's why I remember.
Don't worry, I've not gone too much further into your Instagram. That was just a couple of ones that stuck out to me. Let's do your second match then. So far you've chosen John Cena versus The Rock from WrestleMania 29. Would you like WrestleMania 29 was it the second one we said? Yeah. What would you like your next match to be?
Neville again, Zane for the NXT Championship while Neville was a champion. And like when finally again like storytelling that story had like Zane coming from the underdog to Neville the bad guy doing everything for win, like the match was amazing, but it's still one of my favorite match. If you tell me about it, this is one of my favorite match, and it was so good. And I remember when he won, I felt like emotion. That's what pro wrestling is, feeling emotion, feeling empathy with the wrestler. And to me, it's one of the coolest match.
I remember with that one, like, because it was all about like Sami Zayn couldn't win the big one. Like that was sort of the story, and like he was always going to come runner up. And there were points in that match where like your heart was in your throat because Sami was so close and not doing it. And it's what sticks out to me as you recall that match to me. I remember there was a moment where Sami was on offense and Neville got knocked into the corner, and Sami leans back in the corner and he puts his hand over his face and rubs his face like this as if to go, all right, this is my moment, because he's positioned for the Huluva kick. And it was an emotional moment of him going, oh my God, I think I'm about to do this. Mm. And then seconds later, he was the champion. And I was like, that's great. And then, well, Francesca, you remember what happened after that, don't you?
Yeah, Owens coming out. And it was cool because everyone coming out to celebrate. Then it looks like the show's closing. But then, like, the Owens stuff happened. And then Sami just lost the title of the next show or the next takeover. I don't remember that. It was pretty fast.
But I remember the Kevin Owens turn, Kevin Owens attacking Sami Zayn, and they left it for as long as they possibly could. And you were at the point where you're thinking, I'm going to turn the TV off now because the show is finished. And then it happened.
Just before walking to the curtain.
This is where they started doing, this was like the earliest point I can remember of them doing that thing where, just when you think the show's over, it's not. NXT did that, and I love that they do that. They don't do it so often anymore, but it's still a really good moment when they think, just as the show's ending, little title, little credits come up in the corner. Nah, not finished yet. It's great. Let's talk back to you again. Obviously, you're doing all right in Japan. You're doing all right, I guess, with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship just to your side. You're doing all right.
For me.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was Tajiri that planted this seed, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Talk to us about it.
I was booked on a show the show was crazy because there was 50 people with Tajiri and Chris Masters on the show because there was a shit like advertisement for the show. So people actually didn't know. The arena was really cool. And I remember when I first met Tajiri, he was reading this book with his cap and I was like, who's this guy? Because I couldn't see. But then I was like, oh shit, that's Tajiri. And I did my match, it was a scramble. And then after the show, he started watching my picture. And I was like, oh, okay. Then he asked me some information about me. And few months later, he asked me if I wanted to go to Japan for a couple of months. And that's how it started.
So it started as just a little bit of a tour to see, to get you out there. And let's go to that. As you arrive in Japan, you start that, what you think is going to be a couple of months. Now, wrestling aside, what was your first impression of life in Japan?
It was crazy, man. But like, I mean, not in another world, because nowadays with internet, you know what to expect. But like, it was so different, like the culture and the dojo, the life system. I live with my family still now because I travel back and forth. So I never lived outside before going to Japan. So it was completely crazy. And the language, of course, it was hard because at all Japan, they didn't speak English much, except from Tajiri. So it was pretty rough at the beginning, but then I got used to it.
So did you learn Japanese quite quick? Because it's quite a difficult language to learn, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very difficult to learn. There's 10 ways to say the same things. But it's a beautiful language, and I don't speak it fully, but I would love one day to like study it and speak it.
You mentioned that when you're not sort of in Japan, you're living back home, you live with your family because you're traveling around so much, it makes sense to. What have your family made of the journey that you've been on?
Like my mom already went, like my name is real. Akira is my middle name. So because my mom was already a big fan of Japan too. And she does some Japanese sport called kendo. That is like the one with the sword, the wood sword. And she came to Japan many times. So she was really proud of the road I'm taking, especially in Japan,
for saying more than America.
Because not only does your mom love Japan, but also like this, it's a very different wrestling culture. There's a lot more respect in the wrestling world in Japan, it seems. It's a very different pace that matches you up. Because was there ever any doubt from your folks about what you were doing? Because getting into wrestling is always one that raises eyebrows if you've not come from a wrestling family. Like, was there ever any doubt early on about the path that you were taking from your parents?
Yeah, especially from my father. Yeah. But my mom was always being supportive because she saw how much I cared. Like, I remember from the first show, I was going to every show in Italy, and like, we came back at 2 at night, and I will take my scooter and drive under the rain, under the snow. So she saw I was really passionate about this show. She always supported me. From my grandfather, it was more difficult, even until last year too. They always keep saying like, yeah, you should work. Like, that's my work, okay? But they always, yeah, because as I said, it's a more small sport, so it's not soccer, so you don't know actually how it works. They don't know how it works.
It's the conversations with your grandparents about when are you going to get a proper job?
Yeah.
Exactly. When are you going to get a real job? Like, yeah, exactly. This isn't a job. This is ridiculous. When did you meet TJP for the first time?
This tour. I met him the first time for the Best of the Super Junior. I already know him, of course, from the WCW, Cruiserweight World Classic. It was Cruiserweight
Classic. That was it.
CWC. Yeah, sorry. And yeah, it was first time Best of Super Junior.
What were your first? Obviously, you'd seen him wrestle. What were your first impressions of him as a tag team partner?
It was like pretty cool. I remember like when I saw some reviews of the show on the match we did everyone was saying, like, we look like we are tagging from years, but we are tagging just for like a couple of matches. Like, we probably did 10 matches just together or less, probably less. So that's why it was pretty surreal to tag with him.
Because it's just somebody that you'd seen doing their thing for so long. And it just, when it clicks like that, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, we are two of the best juniors in New Japan. So we are together and we are champion now. So that's how it goes.
Now, we've just had AEW and New Japan coming together for Forbidden Door. Was there ever any conversations about you guys, you and TJP, being involved? Because obviously, Will Ospreay was there as part of the Empire. Was there any conversations about you guys being involved?
There was, but unfortunately, we're working now on my visa stuff because I never been to the US and I just joined New Japan. So there's some process you need to do before, of course, getting to America. But I think Forbidden Door was one of the greatest shows of the last 10 years to me. Like, really big, and every match deliver, especially the United Empire match.
Oh, Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy was outstanding to watch.
Absolutely.
So you say you're getting visa things resolved now, did you say?
We're working on it. So hopefully, like, I would love to come to America, especially for Strong New Japan, and defends this championship too with TJP, like in America.
Because I know TJP has been a part of New Japan Strong.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hope to see you there as well.
If I can get there, we can both defend our belt.
Yeah, that'd be a nice thing to say. Looking to your third and final match then. So we've got one more match to choose from. We've had John Cena versus The Rock. We've had Neville versus Sami Zayn. What would you like your final match to be then?
So actually, I will say two, okay, at the same position from the same show, the night before and the night after. So night before was Ospreay Roma because it was Ospreay's last match as a junior. And the next day was Okada Naito because I was there watching the show live. So that's why I remember when Kenta came out and everyone was like so pissed off about it. I remember because like for 2 years now, we are not listening to crowd voices, okay, in Japan. Mm. So it's really sad. But when before Corona, when Kenta came out, the people just went crazy and it was really good emotion. And then Ospreay is like the guy in the United Empire that wanted me, the guy that wanted me most. And like he did everything in the junior heavyweight division. He was the face of the junior heavyweight division. Every match Ospreay did, I watched it because to learn, to study, to enjoy. And against Hiromu, he was the last one before he moved heavyweight. So that's why they're two of my favorite.
There's a lot of people that I see compare sort of your career trajectory to that of a Will Ospreay. Like somebody who came in and became, Will Ospreay came in and just became completely part of New Japan in every sense, and then move from the junior heavyweight division so easily to the heavyweight division. And it makes so much sense. How do you feel when people make comparisons between Ospreay and yourself?
It's pressure, of course, because Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world. There's no doubt about it. So it's a big pressure, but it's a big like push, like to give me the fire, like to keep going and wanted to be the best, like me too. I don't know if I will ever move to the heavyweight division because I'm not that big, but I want to do everything in the junior heavyweight division and then one day, who knows?
You mentioned there about, I want to touch on this, is the audience and how it's sad that you aren't hearing the cheers and the boos and instead it's rhythmic claps to express. Yeah. How does that change what you do in the ring, if at all, that instead of having to sort of coerce the crowd into cheers and into boos, you're just kind of doing your thing and reacting to claps? Has it changed your style in any way?
is a change, like, especially if you like especially when we are like bad guys and we want to do something, but then the crowd cannot scream, so it's just like a few claps. So I don't want to clap. I want to hear like fucking people hate us. And you cannot, so it's very sad. And like most of my career in Japan is like without sound, without people speaking, so or shouting. So it's sad, and I can't wait for government finally allowed to shout.
Do you know how long that will be? Any ideas?
Nobody knows. No. Unfortunately, I don't know, because I don't understand. Some show in Japan, as they did like a Tokyo Dome show with 50,000 people, and for like an MMA fight or kind of that, and people were screaming. So I was like, why we cannot screaming? So I don't know. Depends on Japanese government, but I hope soon, because everyone's still wearing a mask and it's also safe.
We're hoping soon, because it does make a big, big difference. Yeah. You're back home in Italy right now. When are you next planning to head towards Japan? Do you have a date and a flight booked?
There's a few planned, but I won't say anything yet.
Oh, fine. Keep it top secret.
Yes.
That's no, I don't blame you. Well, look, it's been wonderful to chat to you. For Cultaholic, and it's been exciting to see your rise and now being on top of the junior heavyweight division. It's amazing to see. If people want to find out more about you and keep up to date with what you're up to, where can they find you online?
Of course, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as Francesco/ I don't know English term of.
underscore.
Underscore, yes.
Underscore.
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 Francesco_Akira. And then if you want to buy my merch, there's my t-shirt.
He's stood up with the wonderful Nova Fireball t-shirt on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find it on New Japan official shop. And it's the first time New Japan produced an Italian pro wrestler t-shirt. So it's pretty historical for me too. And yeah, that's how you can find me.
The history making Francesco Akira. Thank you for joining us on Cultaholic Island today, sir.
I wish I was going to Ireland. I mean, I'm in Italy, the most beautiful country in the world. But I don't live near the sea, so I want to go to sea. It's so hot.
You're still history making, that's the main
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.